It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. Into the world of business consulting and business coaching. With your host, Doug Gefeller.
I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. And our guest for today is Naheed Kazaza, who's going to give us a preview of what she's going to be talking about next week at the March International Coaching Federation Orange County monthly meeting. But before we get to that, if you're listening to the show live, then hey, you know where you are. You're on octalkradio.net, Orange County's premier talk radio show. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other great shows with some of our past guests. Well, today's program, Naheed is has an MBA, a BCC, and is a leadership and transition coach, past president of the Orange County chapter of the ICF, and she's going to give us a preview of what she's going to be talking about next week. But before she starts, let me lead off by reading to you the preview material that went out in the coaching newsletter. Because what we're talking about is information overload. So, did you ever feel so overwhelmed by all the information out there that it's difficult to make a decision and stay on one path? You know, your clients face this same challenge, and helping them sift through all their options, make decisions, and consistently take effective action is one of the biggest challenges of being a coach. Well, hey, that's one of the biggest challenges of being an individual, too. In their overwhelmed state, your clients may ask you to tell them what to do, or you may find yourself having the same conversation over and over again as they paralyze themselves ruminating about decisions. You may find that every time you talk with your clients, they're excited about a new and completely different idea, which keeps them spinning in an endless cycle of new initiatives accompanied by no action. Well, Naheed is going to lead an interactive discussion with other coaches next week, but we thought that it would be great to sort of preview that by having her here today. Naheed, welcome back to the Coaching Perspective radio show.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I am great, and it's a pleasure to have you back with us again.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are one of my favorite coaches, and you always have a new perspective even on old issues, so I'm really kind of anxious to get into this today.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit, where do we start with information overload?
Well, you know, I think because our audience at ICF are coaches, one of the things that we'll probably start with in the session is really getting clear on what the impact of information overload is on someone's life. So we'll go through some introspective work so that people in the audience will share some of their own stories of situations they've been in where they felt overwhelmed and what impact has that had on them, and maybe compare it to situations in their life when they haven't felt that way, and really pinpoint what the value is being able to manage this. What's the difference if you have good tools to manage information overload versus being in a situation and not having the tools to manage it? And then we come around to what's one of the best tools to manage it, and that's having a coach.
Do you think that this issue of information overload is one of those things that people are reluctant to admit they have it, that they have a problem? It's sort of like admitting a deficit.
You know, I don't know that people are really aware that it's an issue. I think sometimes you get overwhelmed and you really don't know the source of what's overwhelming you. You know, it could be that you think you're just confused, or you think you need to learn more before you can make a decision, or it could be kind of an endless cycle of self-doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's sort of like, you know, we're experienced people in our business, we're successful, and so why shouldn't we be able to handle this? What's wrong with us? It's like you say, it's that self-doubt that constantly creeps in as to why we are in this position. And where do you think the coaching should be directed? To the cause of the issue, or maybe to the impact that it's having? What's more important?
Well, you know, I think sometimes just recognizing, you know, especially with high achievers, right? You know, people who hire coaches usually are high achievers, you know, and they want to improve themselves and they want to do their best and they expect a lot of themselves. And sometimes when they're stumbling, they tend to take it on. You know, they just automatically jump to the conclusion that if they're not coping well with something, then there's something wrong with them. And a lot of times what I'll start with is putting things in perspective and really bringing to their awareness that, yes, of course, they have some influence over the situation, but that there are some external factors that are playing. And in this world today, things have changed. And I teach a lot of time management seminars, and people used to deal with time management by just learning better ways to get through their to-do list faster. And there was never any question of, is my to-do list too long? There was just always, how do I get through it more efficiently? But now what I talk about mostly is your to-do list is going to be endless unless you learn a way to block the input.
Aha. Uh-huh. So we're down to that. You know, I was thinking about this conversation, and I ran across an interesting example that of information overload that kind of brings it back to the basic, that makes it okay for us to admit we've got this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the example that I ran into was all about when you first started driving.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us can remember back to when we first started driving, that first time we got behind the wheel and we were trying to listen to the instructor. We were trying to figure out where to put our hands on the steering wheel. Maybe if it was a long time ago, where to put our hand on the gear shift. Which foot was the accelerator? Which foot was the brake? Do we look forward? Do we look in the side mirror? Do we look in the rearview mirror? You know, and I can remember Dad going, turn off the radio. You can't listen to the radio while you're learning to drive. All of that was a great example of information overload.
Mm-hmm.
That there we were in that situation that we've all been in, and we could easily admit that, hey, there was nothing wrong with us. It was a new situation, and I've got information overload. And yet today we're dealing with that every day with our current electronic age, and it's almost like we're afraid to admit we've got an issue with overload.
Right. Well, because it is what it is, right? It's life. So, I mean, you can say I've got an issue with the way the world works now, or you could just expect yourself to deal with it. So, you know, I can see why people wouldn't focus on this is an issue, this is a problem. It would be, well, this is what it is. You know, the world runs 24/7 now. We have access to work everywhere we go. We're all carrying our cell phones around and texting. We're expecting questions and answers in real time. You know, on a Sunday afternoon, you can open a bank account online if you want. I mean, there's no restrictions anymore. So the expectation is that you're available 24/7. Well, none of us can physically be available 24/7. We've got to sleep sometimes. So it's really, I don't know that it's really that we have a problem with it. It's just that we have to recognize what's changed, how it's impacted on us, and how to protect ourselves from it. So to me, a lot of what I coach on is self-protection, setting boundaries on your time, and really understanding that nobody else is going to do it for you. It used to be that the world would shut down at 6 o'clock and everybody would go home and have dinner. And so no one would expect you to be doing work at that time. But now there isn't anything like that. There isn't any time frame. So if you open yourself up to it, you're going to have people demanding things from you. You're going to have things coming at you at all times. So self-protection is just a new skill that a lot of us have to develop now because of the times.
You know, you make a great point there, and it was one I ran into when I was researching this, that there's a individual, Clay Johnson, who is a very successful practitioner of political campaigning using the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the point that it's not so much information overload that we're dealing with, but rather information overconsumption of the wrong kind.
Interesting.
He says we read and we watch too much from sources that merely affirm what we think, and we need to be more discretionary, more to take a greater a sifting of the data coming in so that we don't get overloaded, so that the information we're dealing with is the information we should be dealing with.
Right, and that's a great place that coaching can help, because one of the things that all coaches do is help you get clear on your priorities and help you get clear on what are the questions that you have, what is it that you really need to learn. And when you have those things to guide you, you know, what's my overriding priority? What is my overriding value? What is it that I really want to accomplish here? And what are my questions? What do I need to learn? Then you can use those things as anchors to filter information in and filter information out.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. So it becomes a matter of dealing, what is the information we want to deal with, not trying to deal with more. It goes back to your time management example, which is a great one. Everybody tries to manage all the tasks rather than say, which of the tasks do I really need to manage?
Right. And I think younger people have just developed this way of shutting out certain things because it's sort of understood in their culture that more is coming in. So you just stop interacting with each other if you're done, and nobody takes it personally. But those of us in the older generations, we're used to, you know, behaving in certain ways, and in general, we're used to accepting what comes to us. So if someone asks us a question, we accept the question and we answer it. If someone sends us an email request, we expect ourselves to respond. And this paradigm of whenever something comes to us, we expect ourselves to respond to it or engage with it. Or if we get invited to something, we really seriously think about it. And you'll look at people who are, you know, kind of more comfortable in this world, and they can fly through an email inbox of 400 emails, hit delete on a lot of stuff, and just not be too concerned about missing something important. Whereas, you know, to me, that's been an acquired skill.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. Earlier today, I talked to a client of mine. I had to call them on the phone because my emails were not getting through to them. And this is a service company that depends on their computer system to do their work and communicate with their clients. And so when I got them on the phone, they said, guess what? Since Monday, our server went down, and so did our backup server at the same time.
Oh, great.
And so we're sitting here unable to do our work. We've sort of got a makeshift system put together, so we're getting some of the really urgent things taken care of. And so I was kind of commiserating with them as to, oh, I can't imagine how terrible that would be. I know how you must feel. And the response was kind of interesting in light of today's discussion. It was, well, you know, I've had a little more time to think about what we should be doing, and it's been kind of refreshing. So it's that game of sifting through the information and making sure you take the time to think about what you want to do rather than just staying busy.
Right. And, you know, I have a client, and we began to talk about this, and she was really good at taking an idea and implementing it and also getting buy-in. And what she started with was a no-meeting Friday. And most people I talk to, they're like, oh, God, I have to be available, you know, for meetings all the time. And they did a no-meeting Friday, and they would just get so much work done on Friday. And I remember reading this article where, you know, the suggestion is a lot of times to busy executives that you come in the morning and you focus on your top priority and you don't open your email until 11 o'clock. And people are appalled. They're like, I couldn't do that. And so I remember reading an article about someone who was talking about the value of doing that. And then the company's servers went down. And so they had to go an entire Monday with no servers up and nobody could do any email, and they got so much done that that's what it took for them to get buy-in. And so they said, you know what, every Monday we should make it no email day or something like that. But it was the whole idea of you realize how much you get done when you stop accepting everything that comes at you.
And you know, this isn't even a new idea. I mean, this goes back to 1967. Peter Drucker wrote the Effective Executive book, which is a classic. And in it, he emphasizes the fact that most of the tasks of the executive require, for minimum effectiveness, a fairly large amount of time. And his solution was to reserve large blocks of time on your calendar. Don't answer the phone or return calls in short bursts once or twice a day. He wasn't even dealing with email then, 1967.
Yeah.
And now we've layered that instant accessibility and that expectation of instant gratification when people email us all on top of it. And we've still not learned that lesson of blocking out times.
I know. Well, and I think some people are better at it than others. And the ones that are willing to try it are just so how much they get done. You know, an interesting thing to explore, because I think this will be important when we talk at the coaching meeting, is how you work with the clients who are having a real hard time trying it, right? Because there's a reason why you make yourself accessible. There's a reason why you can't shut anything out. I've had clients try shutting everything out, and they feel too guilty and too anxious. And so they're not getting any work done anyway, because they're too worried about everything that they're missing when they're shutting everything out. And so they end up not doing it. So some of the coaching work is, you know, what is it that you're afraid will happen if you don't answer your email for 2 hours?
I like it. I mean, and this is so much of what motivates our behavior is fear of consequences, many times, which are based upon assumptions that we're not even cognitively aware of.
Right.
You know, that are just sort of lurking in the background is old, I'm going to call it old wives' tale, that we still believe because we don't stop to investigate it.
Right.
You know, I mean, one of the ones that I constantly struggle with people on is this idea that we should be multitasking, in spite of the fact that all of the research that's ever been done shows that multitasking absolutely reduces your effectiveness. But we continue to think we can do it. We should be able to do it.
Well, it feels so good. It makes you feel like you're being productive, so it's seductive. It makes you feel like you're doing it makes you feel really good, but on the but you know, in actuality you're being much less effective than you would be otherwise.
Well, what do you expect when we have our conversation next week at the coaching meeting? Do you think we're going to hear anything really new from anybody about information overload? Do you think we'll get a different perspective?
I think so, because the way I'm planning on facilitating it is really to bring out the experiences of the group. Because I think when you take a situation like this and you really listen to three or four or five different experiences and different ways that people have handled challenges and come through it, you're going to get perspectives that are unique that you haven't heard before from hearing these different stories from the group. And a lot of great things are going to happen. So a lot of what we're going to be doing is discussing and facilitating and sharing experiences, and then, you know, kind of synergistically learning together based on what some of the individual experiences are of the group. And, you know, it really doesn't matter if we have junior coaches in there, senior coaches in there, people who have never coached before, because the situations that we're going to be talking about are going to be equally applicable to us individually as with our clients. So some of us may have client stories to share. Some of us may have personal stories to share, and it's all going to be valuable.
Well, I can hardly wait for it, and you are a master at bringing a group to life and getting them to participate, and I know it's going to be a fascinating conversation, and I would encourage anybody, go to Coaches of Orange County website and make sure you're aware of it. It's at the Wyndham Hotel next Thursday on the 14th at 6 o'clock. So, Nahid, while I've got you here, before I let you go, I know your time is limited. Anything new about you and your practice and what you're doing that you want to share with our audience?
Oh, you know, that's a great question, and I probably should have prepared for it. But, you know, one thing that I've done, just finished doing, that I'm really excited about is I have completed what I'm calling an e-coaching program, which is essentially coaching exercises delivered via email. And it allows people to have a little bit of an experience of working with me and an experience of what some of the exercises are that I go through with many of my clients, and to get that delivered to them via email so they can kind of do it on their own time. And it includes a little audio recording, a lesson. I try to keep those pretty short, no more than 10 minutes, and one-page handout, and you can do the work on the handout. And there's a free one on my website, so you can try it out, and it's about 10 classes. Very, very fun. I'm really excited. Of course, I went through it myself because I had to test it, and I think it's going to be really powerful for people.
Well, I can't wait to try it. Put me on your list. I definitely could always use the help. And before we let you get away, how do people get a hold of you?
The easiest way is to go to my website, and that is www.aspire.com. And Aspire is spelled a little bit weird, so if I could spell it out, that's A, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, Y-R-R-E. So there's two R's in there, A-S-P-Y-R-R-E. And if you just go to Aspire, you could sign up for the free sample e-coaching program. You can always reach me on the contact page. My phone number's there. So it's really the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Great. Now, Heath, thank you very much for joining us today. It's wonderful to have you back again, and we'll look forward to listening to your program next Thursday at the coaching meeting.
Thank you, Doug. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be an intellectually stimulating discussion, and it's just going to be really, really fantastic.
I know it will be just because of you. So thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Well, we've been listening to Nahid Kazaza, and she's, as you heard, if you've been listening, if you just tuned in, shame on you. But anyhow, we're talking about information overload and the conversation that we're going to have next week at the ICF coaches meeting on Thursday, the 14th. Also, I'm looking at my announcement page here, I might want to tell you to be sure to tune in next week to the radio show. We're going to have Carly Anderson, and Carly's going to talk on do you want to instantly improve your coaching skills as a leader or as a coach? And she says, after listening to this talk, you're going to find yourself with newfound clarity on how to be an even better coach, or how to incorporate some of the tips that she's going to share in your coaching approach as a leader. So this could apply to both coaches or leaders. Carly is a master certified coach. She's a active assessor for the International Coach Federation. That means she's the grader, the evaluator. She's evaluated hundreds of coaching sessions, and out of that experience, she's developed her own special approach. It's called the Target Approach, which she says is a model which demystifies and simplifies the ICF core competencies and tells you how to better apply your coaching skills for client success. And if you're not familiar with that, anybody who is looking to become a certified coach through the ICF, there are 11 core competencies that that they teach in any of the training schools or through the ICF itself. And those competencies, if you're going to be certified, you are then evaluated on your skill set and your ability to coach somebody using those competencies. And obviously, there is various levels at it. Well, Carly is one of those master trainers who has really taken to heart those competencies and has found a great way to really bring those home, to let you use them on a daily basis in your coaching session. So I'm really looking forward to that discussion with her and to learning more about her target approach when we talk next week. If you're looking to get some information ahead of time, you can go to her website, which is thementorcoachinggroup.com, and find out some information there. So that's what we're looking at next week. That's going to be a lot of fun. But this week, we're still talking about information overload. I was surprised in researching it. It has its own abbreviation, I-O. I wouldn't have known that that was information overload. And I also was surprised. I was thinking of information overload as a current issue, basically as a result of our electronic attachment with social media and everything that goes with it. But the term was first popularized back in 1970 by Alvin Toffler, in his best-selling book, Future Shock, which, you know, most of us knew. And in fact, it was talked about that even earlier in 64, not quite as popular, by Bertram Gross in his book, The Managing of Organizations, where he said information overload occurs when the amount of input to a system exceeds its processing capacity. And decision makers who have a fairly limited cognitive processing capability are then overloaded, and as a result, very likely, there is a reduction in the decision quality. And all of this has to do with sensory overload, whether it is whether it's audio or visual or kinesthetic, whatever those sensory overloads are, it really doesn't mean from, but you get overloaded, especially when you're plunged into a fast-paced environment or a very dynamic situation that's changing constantly, or when you're in a situation that is uncomfortable to you. Maybe we might call it a novelty-loaded context, which Toffler called it. And he says when you're in all of those, your accuracy to then handle those decisions really goes down dramatically. And again, as we mentioned in our conversation with Naheed, so many people feel that the issue is not the handling of that information, but it's the segmenting or sifting of that information to be able to really figure out what it is you want to hand out. So, you know, we're going to kind of wrap this up in two or three more minutes, but that's what we're really going to be talking about in information overload. We talked a little bit with Naheed about the issues of multitasking, you know, and again, all of the research says it slows us down, it hampers creativity, it makes us anxious, it's addictive, we lose focus, we don't really filter things properly, we become forgetful. You know, this is the issue of multitasking, which we think we can do. So what we need to do is acknowledge and reevaluate that mindset and look at it as to whether multitasking is really working for us, or whether, as we had mentioned, Drucker stated, we really need to start blocking out blocks of time to be able to handle things. And, you know, when I first heard about this topic, I was thinking this is the issue of the electronic age, but we can go back and, you know, there's so many writers that studied this and so many people that did research on it. Miller in 1962 did a study that just showed that strategies that they had then would probably work today. You know, he said that you need to be more discriminating. You need to just delete some information because it's just reaffirming what you already know. So don't work with that. You need to be more considerate or more discriminating about whether the data you're dealing with is true or false. Boy, what a problem that is with the internet today. You know, you think it's difficult when you read a book to look at it with a questioning eye. Because it's in print, you tend to believe it. Because the author's got his picture on the fly cover and has a bunch of degrees, you tend to think it's true. The same thing is true with the internet. We see it in print, and we read it on 25 different sources. And it's, you know, if you trace it back, it all comes back to one person that posted an idea with absolutely no credibility or research whatsoever at all. So we really need to look much more carefully, at where the information is coming from and the accuracy. We need to take the information and we need to start queuing it up. Queuing it meaning, you know, that old English phrase, queuing, when you catch the London trolley, you get in line and you stand there obediently. And we need to do that with the information that's coming in. We need to queue it up. Lately, I've been swamped with in the email with tips on how to buy new or what new programs to buy that will help my email to be smarter by queuing it and sorting it and sifting through it and identifying my most frequent contacts or the ones that I have the closest relationships with the assumption that those are the people that are the most important. That would probably eliminate some of the members of my family that are the most prolific in sending me jokes that have nothing to do with my life whatsoever at all. So it's all about filtering, you know. It's all about looking at that data. Well, I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. I want to really invite you to take advantage of the ICF meeting next Thursday. I want to make sure that before you go to the meeting next Thursday, that you listen in to Carly Anderson, and as we talk about the target approach to core competencies. And if for some reason you have to miss her talk, then, hey, don't worry. We've got you covered. Like all of our broadcasts, our producer does a phenomenal job of creating MP3 files and shooting them to me over the weekend, because he thinks I should be working on the weekend. And then by Monday, because I'm really not going to handle them on the weekend, by Monday we get them up on our website and our Podbean site, and you have a chance to catch up with all of those great broadcasts that you've missed. So that's it for today. Just want to remind you that what are we all about at the Coaching Perspective? We're all about working to help create more effective teams. We work with existing and new management teams and project teams. We work with C-level and like I say, teams at all levels. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. We feel that if you don't get those in both in alignment, the individual goals along with the team goals, then you're just not going to get the most out of people. And, of course, we all know that the greatest untapped resource we've got out there is our own capability that's not being brought to the forefront, where we lose focus and we're not truly motivated and we're not working on the things we love. So join us to hear more about that. We're on the air on Thursdays. And again, this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Hope that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You're listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller.